So I had the privilege of talking to three people from the Cape Town Society for the Blind. They're running two projects. One has already passed, and I wanted to find out how it went. The idea was for a bunch of people to gather at Cape Town Station last week Sunday for International Day of the Disabled, and they wanted to get onto a train and go to Simonstown, from Cape Town to Simonstown on a train. Now, if you've ever done that, you would know that if you are fully abled, it's difficult. Now, imagine being in a wheelchair and trying to get onto a train that isn't level with a platform, or being blind and not being able to really hear what's going on because the speaker system doesn't work out that well. It's incredibly difficult for these Cape Townians. And they did this, firstly, to highlight the difficulties, but also to show how able they are, to show that despite the difficulties, they're quite capable of overcoming them. And the rest of us can take a lot of pride that we have these fine citizens in our city. The other project is, it's surprising, doesn't actually have much to do with being blind or partially sighted. It's just a teacher who wants to collect toys for kids who don't have toys this Christmas. It's a very, very simple project. But to find out more, I spoke to two people from the Cape Town Society for the Blind, and this is what they had to say. So it's not often I have as much experience in the studio about one particular topic than I have right now. I have people who've been talking about this particular thing and thinking about it and working in this community for over 30 years in some cases. So I'm very excited to have Adrian, Vincent, and Nicole.
Nikki.
I actually called you Nicole. I'm so sorry. Nikki.
No problem.
Nikki Jacobs in the studio. They're all from the Cape Town Society for the Blind. And this last weekend, Sunday, the 3rd of December, was actually the International Day for People with Disabilities. And let's start with Vincent. Vincent, you joined a whole bunch of people that did a pretty interesting thing on Sunday to celebrate the day.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. One of the major issues that people always have is, as much as Metrorail may be very inadequate at the moment, somebody made the comment on Sunday that it's a pity I can't get on the train so that I can also experience the squashing and pushing that goes on regularly. And so that was what we were wanting to highlight, the fact that people with certain types of disabilities have major problems actually boarding and alighting from the train and even being able to move about on the station environment. With International Day of Disabled Persons being on a Sunday this year, and what a beautiful day we were given, even though there was a bit of rain in the morning, Metrorail had, with some prior arrangement from me and a few others, and thank you very much to Daphne Kaster from the Edu Train people there at Metrorail, we got the idea of running a little picnic, but focusing on how people used the train, how people got from the platform to the train, from the concourse, and all that type of thing. And so we hoped that as many, what do you call these things, journalist types with their cameras would do the necessary. Mm. We had then made sure that as many people with really severe physical disabilities were able to join in. And we didn't want to make it too much of a noise in the sense of, Terence, you know, sometimes you make too much noise and nobody listens. And then if you make no noise and nobody listens. So we felt, let's go the middle of the route and just, as it were, talk. And the talk is, look at this. This is what is happening. Metrorail did bring out a portable, collapsible ramp, which was quite adequate. But yet the problem is that such bits and pieces are not available at all stations. Mm. And so we got to the point where we were able to board. I think we were 8 wheelchair people altogether. A young man who is extremely severely disabled with a very fancy power chair couldn't pitch up because he unfortunately had a pressure sore. And so that stopped him from really coming to join us. And then the trip went along all the way to Fishhook, which was quite fun, because unfortunately we couldn't make Simonstown as a result of the fact that there was sand on the tracks.
There's always the sand on the tracks issue.
There's sand on the tracks. And I thought, here's another opportunity. What about taking wheels off the wheelchairs and putting train wheels on and a broom in the hand? And as silly as it might sound, what about being job creation?
Yeah. So I'm a regular Metrorail user. Mm. I'm also a regular Metrorail complainer.
Oh.
as anyone who follows me on Twitter would know, I'm regularly just... It's just so frustrating.
Yeah.
As someone who doesn't experience the difficulties as any of the people who partook of in this particular event on Sunday would have, and I've never really considered how extra difficult it must be. Like you're saying, you know, I don't think I've ever seen those ramps that you talk about on any of the trains. Some of the older carriages, I can't even imagine where there'd be space for a wheelchair bound person. If they somehow managed to even get on the train, let alone find space for themselves on that carriage.
Well, you know, Terence, it's just interesting that in previous versions of our trains, there was a center pole between the doors.
Mm.
And you had people who used to fold their chairs while they are in the chairs and just sort of squeeze between the poles. But luckily... and I mustn't sound like a brag, but, you know, if you don't brag things, then nobody knows either. I had, for the many sins that I've committed in trying to get people to be mobile as far as public transport goes, I was involved in another level of the South African Rail Commuter Corporation at one stage, where I was able to swing the hammer and get into place an area of, you know, a policy for Metrorail about accessibility.
Mm.
And so what happened is they eventually, as they go through what they call the general oval, you know, that's when they occasionally, you know, the amount of fleet allowing, take the train coaches off the line and then, you know, really give them a major service on overhaul. That's when they started to remove the center thing in between the doors and put the handles to the side. And so, yes, the level at which a wheelchair can come in is still disturbed by the fact that there's 6 or 8 inches from level access, you know, between the platform and the train step. But people were now able to get on the train. But you see, the other access issue is how do people get onto the platform anyway?
Yes.
Because
there's steps all the
way.
There's
steps all around the place. Yeah. There's a couple of nice... empty lift shafts at certain stations along the way. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. We won't say much about that. Hello, Richard. Walker out there. I'm being naughty again, Terence.
You know, that's totally fine. This is your time.
You know. So, Richard, this is for you. You know the story. Richard Walker is the general manager of Metrorail Cape Town, and Rihanna Scott, the other one. You see, these people all know what is wrong with Metrorail. They sit at the top of the pile, and they are aware of what I'm saying. And the mere fact that we did an opportunity, or we weren't necessarily opportunistic about Sunday, we were saying, come on, people, help us have potential commuters make money for Metrorail. So your new trains must be level access. That's where the step of the train and the platform are at the same level, so that you can roll onto the platform and roll off the train, that sort of thing. Then at least that's a better option. We might still need people to be carried up and down stairs, but at least there will be a bit of dignity on getting onto the train, and then we can also enjoy being squashed and feel like sardines and toothpaste coming out of a toothpaste tube. You know, I mean, I do it every day from Athlone to Salt River, and many people know me on the train as well. I don't play around with my long cane. I just sort of squash in.
So Vincent, I was actually going to ask you about that because, I mean, I get turned around and confused at Cape Town Station at the best of times. There's a lot of noise. There's not a lot of information. The speaker systems don't work very well.
Mm.
What should we do if you're like me and I don't have disability? But I see someone who's partially sighted or maybe completely blind, who might be struggling. Maybe you see someone in a wheelchair, someone who has some form of disability that's struggling. In that case,
what should we do? Do we just assume that they need help and go up and help them? Do we? What is the process? What is the best way to treat someone like that with dignity?
The best thing is offer the help. You know, don't assume how you're going to help. I mean, I've had the experience of walking along Medley and somebody grabbed my cane by the end, you know, the big round ball, and then they grab it there and then they want to sort of pull me along. And I think to myself, but how do you expect me to feel where I'm going? You know, maybe come along and offer your arm to the person on the side where the person isn't holding the long cane. He may have a bag over that shoulder, but invariably a blind person's non-cane hand is a free hand. And he can then either put his hand on your shoulder or grab your elbow, and away you go.
Or say, no, thank you, I'm fine.
Yeah, or say, no, thank
you. I'm going
you.
The other direction.
Yes. That is very true, Terence. Mm. But don't assume. I mean, just a quick little side issue. As Nikki said, I've been with Society for the Blind for, well, it's almost going on for 35 years. I've had the experience of waiting up on the corner of Salt River Road and Victoria Road for a lift. Now, there's a bus stop up there on the corner there next to the Zorn's shop there. And somebody came across to me and, Mania, you must cross the road now. And she dragged me across the road. Now, if I had to fight and say, Mia, Mrs., I don't want to go across the road now, and the taxi's going zooming up and down, I mean, I could be putting both of us into, you know, into sort of problems there. And so I still had a little bit of sight left at that stage, Terence. This was quite a couple of years ago. And I said to her, madam, you see, there's a green car. I think it's a green car there coming along there. Now, that car's looking for me. Would you mind putting me back where you found me?
And that would have been, that whole process would have been stopped if she had just asked
first.
If she had just
asked. And I mean, as old as the story is, each time I tell it, and there's blind people in the company, blind people will tell you, you know, that is almost a generic experience. And people in chairs also have the same experience. Now, I've started to come to the sort of realization, guys, that rather look at the complete worst case scenario. Let's give you a quick little experience of a trip to Perth a couple of years ago, Perth in Western Australia. And Fremantle and Perth are 18 railway stations apart. And they had recently just revamped the whole 18 station corridor. And everything was level access. Now, my sister was showing me around the place, and when we boarded the train in Fremantle, we were on the train already, and I didn't realize that there was no step whatsoever. When we got into the main station at Perth, and this is now the stop, the end of the line, I actually bent down and felt that I couldn't. There is a gap between the railway, between the, you know, the train and the platform, but the gap is so super duper correct that I couldn't put my finger between the the gap and the what's his name. Now think about that. Now, if your wheelchair is coming along, you won't feel that either, and I didn't feel it with the tip of my long cane either. Now, the dream, dear Richard Walker and friends and whoever else is at the top there, the Minister of Transport, when are you going to do level access here? Because you know what? It's going to bring you money. You think about this, Terence. Mm. How many milliseconds does it cost you to lift your leg up to get on the train and to get down again? You with me?
Mm.
Now, imagine there's 100 people standing times to lift that. Up their legs yeah. times that, yeah. you know, and the other way around. And then you start looking at, if you start saving that time, you can maybe end up with putting more trains on the tracks.
And you know what?
In terms of the timetable.
It shouldn't even be about a profit thing and making more money. It should just be about, you know, transport is a right. Mm-hmm. And we all need
yeah.
that right.
Yeah.
Vincent, we can talk and we can hear. I would love to hear about your stories. I could honestly sit around a fire with you and listen to your stories for a whole evening. But Adrian has been waiting very patiently.
Okay.
And Adrian, so we were talking about last week Sunday and... that's in the past.
He was with us, by the way.
Fantastic.
Him and Wes were on the train, and they had the most delicious pies that they had around, and some coffee too on the train. It was a picnic, man.
So Adrian, you are a teacher.
I am a facilitator. Yes.
A facilitator, and who do you facilitate, and where?
Well, I'm facilitating at Cape Town Society for the Blind, where I'm giving computer literacy training to blind and visually impaired persons. as well as people with other disabilities as well. So basic computer skills.
Your partner in crime's with us too. I see Miss Wisp is also very patiently sitting at your side there.
Yes, indeed. Very, very quietly sitting.
Wisp is your guide dog.
Yes, indeed.
So tell us what you're doing, because you've started this particular initiative last week, Friday, and it's running until the week before Christmas. Yeah. What are you doing?
All right. So I'm running a Wisp Wonder toy collection. And the way in which it happened, or the idea originated, was there was a little girl that was observed. She was no older than 5 years of age, and she was carrying a brick around. And when we asked her, so what's the reason for you carrying the brick around? And she said, well, this is my doll. You know, and that kind of got me thinking. How often do we not see such occurrences? And we go, oh, shame, man. And that's where it stops. So I've been thinking, you know, my guide dog Wisp has all these toys, and they are worth hundreds of rands. And what she normally does is she would pick up one and bring it to me, and it's a tug of war. She plays with them, and she has no idea the value or the cost thereof, the monetary value thereof. And yet there are kids in life who don't even have one toy to play with. So it kind of got me thinking, you know, instead of just saying, hi, shame, let's just start doing something about it. So I've been battling with this idea for a few weeks. Must I do it? Should I do it? Should I not do it? What are people going to say? Is it going to work? What if it doesn't work? What if it fails?
Oh,
all the
doubts.
And I thought to myself, you know what? I need to do it. If it works, great. If it doesn't, I tried. Mm. And that is where I thought, well, let me just put my back into it, speak the idea to someone, so I know I sort of commit myself to it. So I spoke to my fiance, and she said, why not do this? I'm with you all the way. Let's do this and see what happens. So I approached CTSB and I said, listen, I've got this idea. It's what it is. It's me. It's my idea. It's my dog. I need help. In terms of, can we put up a box at CTSB so when people, the communities want to contribute and want to donate a toy or three or two or five or six or ten, you know, can we put up a box so that there will just be a place where people can donate the toys? Because currently it's not structured. I don't have a plan. I'm figuring it out as I go along. So I need help. Yeah. So that's pretty much how the idea got started. And we just started the idea on the 1st of December and running until the 20th. And the reason for the short time for me personally is because it doesn't allow me to sit still. It doesn't allow me free time. It makes me work on this project.
So the toys that you are going to be collecting, yeah, are being distributed to kids in the Esther Ophir area.
That's correct.
Why that particular area? Does that hold this particular spot in your heart?
That is where this little girl was playing in the road,
okay,
when we passed by. I thought, well, seeing that it's a first, and it was going to be only a first, I'm not sure whether I'm going to do it again next year, because there's pressure on me to do it again. Should this be, you know, going well? And that's why I thought, well, I would like to distribute the toys there, seeing that the idea was conceptualized there, or started there, so to speak.
So if people want to actually donate toys, doing it at the Cape Town Society for the Blind reception area, 45 Salt River Road. Salt River is the place to do it. I know you're asking for secondhand toys, yeah, as well as new toys, but yeah, I think, you know, if you're a parent,
yeah,
you're going to be buying toys for your kids. It's not that hard just to pick up a second one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nice. Put it into your trolley, put it into your basket, and just next time you're in Salt River, hopefully before the 20th of December,
yeah,
Drop it there. Have you seen a response? Have you started to collect toys already?
Yes, we have. Many friends and family have been collecting toys. We've had quite a number of responses because our Facebook page is pretty young as well, just over a week or so old. And we've had some responses there as well. So there's great response to it. And then we've had a number of people whom we've spoken to within this week as well, just getting the word out with regards to the Wisp Wonder toy collection.
Mm. Yeah. You know, Adrian, something about people like you give me so much hope, because I often talk to people who have had the exact same experience that you've had, where it's, I have this idea, I see a need, but and then there's that moment of doubt of, yeah, who am I? Who am I to do anything? What happens if it fails? All that stuff. And then some people like me go, actually, you know what? it's not worth it. I won't be able to do it.
Yeah.
And then there's people like you that go ahead and do it, and we need more Adrians in the world. So thank you so much.
I do think within, let's call it quote failure, quote, there is the opportunity to learn as well. Otherwise, how are we going to learn and grow as persons?